Thank you, Marie, for reminding us of the Lamb of God. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John's Gospel, John chapter 10. Our scripture is found in beginning with verse 11, and I'd like for us to read this together in unison. If you do not have a Bible, the text will be displayed on the screen before you, but we'll begin reading with verse 11. And we will conclude with verse 18. John chapter 10, verse 11 through verse 18. Shall we begin? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the Word of God. I can remember visiting my uncle's farm in central Illinois. One Saturday in particular, my older brother and I went out to the barn. We were kind of bored and wanted to see what we could get into. And we spotted our Uncle Russell's sheep. I must have been in the third grade, and David, my older brother, must have been in the sixth. And we soon discovered that sheep could be easily scared. And so what naturally would two elementary boys do? But we made a sadistic sport of scaring the sheep. My brother would stand on one end of the barn and I would stand on the other. We would raise our arms and yell and scream, and the sheep would bleat and run to the other side of the barn where the other brother was standing and would do the same thing. And the sheep just kind of went back and forth. Well, we finally grew tired of that. We went back into the house and we overheard Uncle Russell talking to Dad. And he said that he had just had to shoot the dog. And my dad asked why. And my uncle said, well, he kept on chasing the sheep. And several had died of overexhaustion. Well, that cured me of my sheep scaring days. In contrast to my brothers and my own bad actions of being foolish shepherds, Jesus reminds us here in our text that He is the good shepherd. I want you to see that He says this two different times. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And again, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. As we have just heard, the metaphor of a shepherd was deeply embedded in Hebrew history. The leaders, or the prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, rebuked Israel's leaders as being false shepherds. The Apostle Paul challenged the elders at Ephesus to be faithful shepherds. But no doubt most familiar to us all is the depiction of God being our great shepherd, as found in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Throughout the Bible, God portrays His people as being sheep. Psalm 100, verse 3, it is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, most 21st century Americans removed from the country are unaware of the characteristics of sheep. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, can help us. Sheep are defenseless animals. Among all of God's creatures, they seem to have come in on the short end of things. When it comes to finding food, they are very uncreative. Shepherds confirm that sheep wander. They are stubborn and timid animals, easily frightened, as my brother and I discovered. Little wonder why God calls us sheep. And so Jesus identifies Himself here in our text as the Good Shepherd, and we are His sheep. When I was a child, I had a picture of Jesus with a little lamb over His shoulder. This image of Jesus being the Good Shepherd helps us understand who He is and what He has done for us. How is Jesus the Good Shepherd? What does our text say? Look again at verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. First, as the Good Shepherd, Jesus died for me. The expression lays down His life speaks of Jesus' death. Theologians call this the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. Jesus predicts, Jesus anticipates the cross. Under the law, the sheep died for the shepherd, but here, the Good Shepherd dies for the sheep. Please note that Christ's death was voluntary. The phrase, I lay down my life, is repeated 5 different times here in the text. Verse 11, the last part. Look at it, please. The Good Shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Again, the last part of verse 14, I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, I lay down my life, and twice in verse 18, I lay it down of my own accord, and I have authority to lay it down. Make no mistake, Jesus did not die a martyr's death, killed by the will of men. He died as a substitute, willingly laying down His life for His sheep. Contrary to what we hear on PBS or on the History Channel, Jesus did not become entrapped in some sort of political web from which He could not free Himself. The soldiers in the garden did not capture Him. He could have called 10,000 angels. Peter tried to protect Him, did he not? But the Master told him to put away his sword. Pilate mistakenly thought he held authority over Jesus, but the Lord said to Pilate, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Jesus' life was not taken from Him. He willed to give it. Jesus bowed His head, John 19, verse 30, and gave up His spirit. No Old Testament sacrifice ever died willingly. Each died in resistance. But not Jesus. Jesus gave His life as a willing sacrifice. But we are not members of some dead poet society. Jesus foresaw His glorious resurrection. Look again at verse 17, the last part. He says, only I lay my life down only to take it up again. In verse 18, He says, I have authority to take it up again. The resurrection was not some divine afterthought of God. Jesus' death was with the resurrection in sight. He died to rise again. Look at verse 14. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus repeats his declaration of being the good shepherd, but this time adds a new application for us to see. Not only as the good shepherd did Jesus die for us, but secondly, as the good shepherd, Jesus knows us and we know him. Jesus' knowledge of his sheep surpasses a superficial familiarity. This word speaks of an intimate relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep. It is the same intimacy embraced by the Father and the Son. Some sheep were raised for temple sacrifices, others for food. But most Palestinian shepherds raised or tended the flock for their wool. And a shepherd could watch the same flock for many years. It wasn't unusual for Eastern shepherds to name their sheep, usually pet names like Brown Leg or Black Ear. As the Good Shepherd, Jesus knows my name. What a comforting thought in a cold and impersonal world. Look back up at John 10, verses 3 and 4, the passage that John read just earlier. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Ancient shepherds often watched their flocks with other shepherds and their flocks. When it was time to leave, the shepherd would simply call out the sheep's name, and those sheep knew their master's voice and would follow. We know and love the Good Shepherd more as we listen to his word, his voice, and obey him. The Good Shepherd also knows our natures. We are sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We have lost our way. Oh, the Good Shepherd knows our weaknesses. The Bible tells us when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. The Greek term compassion here means that Jesus felt it in his gut. That's how much he cares for us. That's how much he loves us. Dear friend, nothing you've done is unknown to him. Yet he cares for you. He loves you. He reaches out to you. He wants to rescue you from your sin. And that is why he died. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. By his wounds we have been healed. For we were all like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd of our souls. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. Not only does the Good Shepherd know our names, not only does he know our natures, but he is completely aware of our needs. He hears our bleeding and picks us up in his arms. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. It is our responsibility to trust in the Good Shepherd. It is our responsibility to believe that he knows best. He has proven his love to us. He has laid down his life for us. It is his desire to make us lie down in the green pastures and leads us beside quiet waters. He wants to restore our souls and guide us on the paths of righteousness. And so, what is the response to Jesus' claim as being the good shepherd? Look at verse 19. At these words, the Jews again were divided. Are you in the crowd that is divided about Jesus? Are you in that crowd, or are you one of His sheep? How do you know if you are one of His sheep? If you hear His voice and obey His will. Friend, our sin condemns us. The psalmist says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. And one day the good shepherd will be the great shepherd. As stated in Matthew 25, verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Are you a sheep? Are you a goat? The good shepherd died to save you. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Dear loved ones who know Christ, one day we will worship in heaven at His throne. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb is at the center of the throne and will be their shepherd. And He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Until then, let us listen and obey the Good Shepherd's voice, who gave His life for His sheep and who longs to have an intimate relationship with them. Let's pray. Our good and great Shepherd, we are so thankful that You died on our behalf, that You laid down Your life for us, sinful as we are. There is nothing in us that drew us to Yourself, but it was Your good grace and favor that reached out to us in love. I pray today that if there be anyone here, and surely there is, in a crowd this size, that there is someone who has never listened to the Good Shepherd's voice. Jesus, I pray that You would open their heart. Help them to see that You long to rescue them, for You are the Good Shepherd. I pray for each Christian brother and sister that as we go about in life's journey, regardless of the circumstances that we face, that we will look to You as the Good Shepherd. Thank You for Your care for us, and thank You for Your promises. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.